So Nana, could we have the first slide, please? Right, I'll give you a chance to have a look at that one. What is the subject of this picture, do you think? Any ideas? I'll come down there. Sorry, somebody say something. Oh, Leah, yes. It is, you're quite right. It's the Annunciation, isn't it? And it's a story that's familiar to all of us. This is a picture by Fra Angelico. And it's an altarpiece, actually. It's not a painting. Fra Angelico was a Dominican friar who lived in the 14th century. It was intended to sit above the altar in a church, both to contribute to the glory of God and to depict some of the events in the Bible for those who couldn't read. Why do you think there are those little pictures along the bottom? There's a frieze at the bottom of that picture. What do you think that's all about? I don't know whether you can see what the pictures depict, but can anybody see well enough to see what that is? Leah, can you see that? Your eyesight's probably better than mine, certainly. There's somebody in each of those pictures that's common to all of them. It is a wedding. Yes. Right.
The fourth one is the presentation of Jesus in the temple.
Right.
And I think the fifth one, it looks like the death of Mary.
Yes. It is. Absolutely. That is exactly what it is, Leah. Well done. Yes, it is. That was their wedding. Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. That's very helpful. Yes, there's a name for that, isn't there, Sarah? You might remember. No, the whole thing, the frieze at the bottom of the picture. It's, yes, anyway, it's something that often appears in altarpieces and in churches, and you all have seen this, I'm sure, when you've visited abroad, that there is a little extra bit of information at the bottom of the picture to tell you about one or more of the characters in the main picture. And that, of course, is the story of Mary, really. It's all about her. This picture was groundbreaking in several ways when it was first painted, but particularly because it's set outdoors rather than inside, because I think if you've seen other pictures of this subject, you'll find that the previous ones have all been indoors, so this was an innovation. And there are various symbolic inclusions. The garden indicates virginity. The palm, which is just behind those figures in the picture on the left, the section on the left, references Christ's martyrdom. Roses on the tree next to the figures represent the passion of Christ. And the two figures, what do you think, has anybody got any idea who those two figures might be on the left of the picture? They are Adam and Eve. Well done, Leah. Yes, they are Adam and Eve with clothes on. And they remind us about the fact that Christ died to deliver the human race after the original fall, reference Adam and Eve. And finally, what is that yellow line coming from above, do you think? What might it be? It's the Holy Spirit. Yes. There's God in the top left-hand corner, and just by the middle pillar there is a little white dove. and that is the Holy Spirit. So, what do you think of it? Who likes it? Put your hand up if you like it. Do other people agree with that? Yes, a lot of people nodding. It is. You wouldn't find that in, for instance, a URC church or one of our churches, would you? So does anybody really, really not like it? Right. The colour's nice. Yes, it is. It's beautiful. And actually, as a picture, if we didn't know anything about the subject, as a picture, we would probably say that is beautiful, wouldn't we? So, it's very representative of pictures of that kind of era, because, as we were saying earlier, it's a bit flat. They don't look like real people. I was at a lecture yesterday at the Ashmolean, and there was this picture, or one very similar to it, and another picture, which was a Pre-Raphaelite picture, which is much later, that comes from the end of the 19th century. And it was very definitely different in that they were real people. Mary was a real person, and the angel was a real person. And Mary was looking very shy, frightened at the sight of the angel. It was such a contrast to this picture, where she looks completely, oh, here's an angel, you know, I wonder what it's got to say. So, very different kind of background to those pictures. Right. Can we move on to the next slide, please? This one is a real contrast. Who can tell me what they think this picture is about? What do you think's happening in this picture? Leah? It is. That's exactly right. Yes, it is. I'm very glad you came this morning, Leah. This is extremely helpful. yes, it is. And this is a picture by Caravaggio. Now, I'm sure most of you will have heard and probably know something about Caravaggio. It's a typically dramatic work by him. He was a very colourful and controversial figure in the 16th century. He was a violent character given to tavern brawls who famously committed murder. He often had to go on the run to escape justice and his enemies. However, he painted some extraordinary religious pictures, including at least two of the conversion of St. Paul, and they may be the ones that you have seen. They're very often reproduced. This is one of another subject, which, of course, is the taking of Jesus. It's called the taking of Christ. And who do you think the characters are? Who can you see in the picture? Can anybody else identify who's who? Can anybody see somebody who might be Judas? And what's he? He's kissing Jesus, isn't he? So it's clearly Judas, that's right, right in the middle of the picture. And next to Jesus, just at the back of his head, fleeing, is, now you can take a blind guess at this if you like, it's one of the disciples and one that you would not expect. Sorry? No, it isn't Peter. Peter is in the picture, but he's not that figure. Somebody that you would not expect to be running away. John. It's John. He's the one in the far left. And Peter is the one with the lantern. And it is said that his face is that of Caravaggio. It's a self-portrait. So that is Peter carrying the lantern. And a key feature in that picture is right in the middle. And it's that bit of armour on the centurion soldier. And the reason that is there, probably, is because its polished surface is to depict for the viewer a mirror of self-examination and reflection. So when you look at that, you're supposed to think, that's looking back at me. Where do I fit in that picture? So, who likes it as a picture? Anybody else? Usha likes it. I like it too. Anybody else? It is very dramatic. Most of Caravaggio's pictures are very dramatic. He was a master of what they call chiaroscuro, which is the light, the way that he depicts light falling on key subjects, which in this case, of course, is Jesus. No, I know. I don't know that any of the figures... No, you're quite right, Leah. I don't know that any of those figures are dressed as they really would have been. But then this is something that we have to always take with a pinch of salt with certainly Renaissance pictures, because we see figures from the Bible in ruffs and all sorts of things, breeches that they would never have worn. So... who doesn't like this picture? Anybody really doesn't like it? I don't think Sarah likes it. She's told me often she doesn't like it. Yeah. It's beautifully painted, and they are real people, aren't they? Unlike the one that we saw just now. Okay. And the next slide, please. One more for you to think about. Now, this is one that you probably already know. It's a famous picture. I don't need to ask you what the subject of this one is, because it's obvious. This story is one that, as I say, that we know very well. Painted in 1951 by Salvador Dali, who is a well-known surrealist. Like many surrealists, he made art that looked like a dream sequence. And the angle and lack of gore in the picture was reportedly revealed to him in a dream. Whether the dream was instituted by drugs, we don't know. The overall impression for the viewer is of a triangle. And you can see that, can't you, looking at the picture. And that's a reference, of course, to the Trinity. What do you think's going on in this picture down below? What does that look like down there? Anybody got any ideas what that might be? The blue thing at the bottom. It could be, couldn't it? I think that's what the reference is. Yeah, and it's a little boat. I think that's what it is. Actually, that lake was near where Salvador Dali lived. I mean, he painted it from a real lake. But I think the reference, as Nana says, is of the Sea of Galilee and the fact that they were fishermen and fishing was a really important part. Oh, have you got something to show me? Oh, good. Thank you very much. Now tell me what it is.
This is the pool.
Right.
And this is the pathway.
Right.
This is the hill. And this is the boat.
Right.
The trees and the snakes.
Well done, Ethan.
Yeah. And this is the person.
They're the people.
Yeah.
We have a picture of Noah's Ark. And it's painted in a rather surrealist way. Because we've got a lake where the rains are coming. We've got a pathway and a boat. And we've got people, and we've got trees. Well done you, that's lovely. I'm going to leave that up here so people can look at it afterwards. Now, tell me about your picture, Vera.
This is a big pool, and this is a tent that goes up the water, and this is the place that we put water
out. Right.
This is the pushing
thing. That's what?
That's the bush.
Oh, I see. We have another surrealist representation of Noah's Ark, and very colourful, Vera. That's nice colours, yes. Very good. Well, I'm going to leave them there. Do have a look at them afterwards. Well done, you. Thank you for that. Right, we've just got a little bit more to think about and talk about, so you can go and sit down for a minute. Right. Who finds this picture unsettling? Anybody? So I do. Yes, I do. I don't know whether it's because we're looking at it from a very unusual angle. I gather that Salvador Dali based this on another drawing that had been made much earlier by a monk, but he's put a lot more detail into it and colour and all sorts of things. So anyway, that's one that we've used in our services here before, so I'm sure it's one that you know. Last picture. And I'm not going to ask you to think about this because this is a picture that, again, you probably all know. What is the subject? You can tell me. Sorry?
Someone said it.
I think lots of people said it, actually. It's the prodigal son, the return of the prodigal son. Most of us, I think everybody here probably knows the story well. It's one of reconciliation, forgiveness, and inner healing. But it's also a story of loneliness, jealousy, and anger. As we look at the characters in the picture, we're reminded how reluctant we are to take the part of the son, kneeling before God and releasing to him all our earthly burdens, laying our shortcomings before him in total repentance. We identify mostly with the onlookers, who all represent different ways of not getting involved. There's indifference, mild curiosity, and inattention. This picture says so much about our relationship with God. In his life, Rembrandt, the artist, confronted his own demons. He experienced great early success and wealth, which quickly dissipated when he became less fashionable. And his self-portraits, of which there are many, chronicle the toll that his poverty took on him as his life went on. Time and again in the world of arts, we see God working to reveal himself through imperfect mortals. So it is in the world today. To our infinite gratitude, we are the perpetual beneficiaries.